say anything about you.
All right.
But the homeless man gave him this platform to minister. Oh. Nobody but God. Thank you. Give yourself. Unbelievable.
You may be seated.
I really believe this with all of my heart, that the reason why there's so much hell in our ministries, in our homes, in relationships, and in our marriages, and on our jobs, and even in our churches, is because we've connected ourselves with the wrong people. We've become one with them instead of God. It is the spirit of Asa that is running rampant throughout our lives and our churches. This spirit has deceived our hearts by causing us to believe that the people that we're one with is better than being one with God. This is a high level of trickery. It's deception at its best. And that's why I'm here tonight with a humble spirit to tell all of you tonight that it is imperative that we get back to being one with God. We've heard great preaching. We've heard great teaching. And it's a shame that a lot of you will leave out of here the same way you came in. I just felt it in the Holy Ghost. Many years ago, I'll never forget it, way before I was saved, I came to this church, and it was something that blew my mind. I was fascinated about your mother. She was just a powerful woman. And she would walk in the room and you could just feel it. It was just something about, I would just keep my eyes on her. I would just watch her and watch her praise and watch how she exalted God and watch how she would give encouraging words to everybody. She was an amazing woman. I'm talking about Sister Buster Maggie, if you figured it out yet. She would preach with so much power and so much fire. And I would sit out in the congregation and I would just watch her and I would just watch her. One day I just built up some courage. I said, you know, I'm just going to go and bum rush her. She was coming out of the prayer room, wrong time to bum rush her. She was coming out of the prayer room. I wasn't saved and I was just wanting to get close to her. So I got up on her and close to her. A force just pushed me back. She didn't even notice the day. A force just pushed me back. And I could feel it. And I got close enough to where I could look at her eyes. And I literally saw fire in her eyes. It scared me. I went back to that homeless shelter. And I remember saying, God, whatever that was, I felt on Sister Vista Lane. God, I want it. She was just one with me. One with God. This is that kind of power, that kind of force. I just couldn't walk upon her. I just couldn't come upon her like that. I remember sitting out in this congregation many, many years ago. After that, I remember Pastor Anthony walking to this platform. I'll never forget it. I'm sitting out there. The music was great. Pastor interrupted the music. He started crying a little bit. He said, Dad, I got to tell you something, Dad. He said, somebody gave me a check to give to you, Dad. They want to be left anonymous. You remember that? He pulled out that check. He said, somebody bless you with $1 million. Blew my mind. I'm sitting there, wow. It's one thing to earn $1 million. But it's another thing when somebody gives you $1 million. I'm like, wow, a millionaire, this guy's a millionaire. And I'm looking at him, and tears start coming down my eyes. I don't know why, but our bishop is somebody just blessed him. He's a great man. He gives it. He deserves it. And then he comes up, he gets the mic, he begins to speak in tongues, and then he began to sing in tongues. And then after he came back from the throne room of God, he said these words, now what? I'll never forget it. It was many, many, many years ago. I begged God. I said, God, I said, I need a mentor. I said, I need someone I can join into, that I can rely on, someone I can depend on. I said, I need someone to help me with this thing. I don't know what's going on. I said, please. And I started going through the church, trafficking, trying to find this one, talk to that one, asking them questions, how they feel about mentorship. Some didn't like it. Some was too busy. I'll never forget it. Some started talking to me for a little bit, then they backed away. And I just kept trying. I kept trying until one day the Holy Spirit zapped me. And I'll never forget what the Spirit said to me. And I quote, the Spirit said this, what's wrong with me, John? And am I not good enough? I stopped looking. He took me back to Paul when he set him aside and put him in the desert so that he can hand feed him by himself. It's easy to run and look for mentors and people who we can rely on, depend on, and people that we can be one with to help teach us and show us. But if you're special and you got a special anointing, stop looking around to join in with people when God is trying to set you apart. And that day forward, I said, I'll never look to another. And God, I will be one with you. It was the words of David that dominated around my head at that time. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 2 and 3, David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. He said, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. He said, I will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Listen to me, you don't need to depend on anybody. The only thing you need to do is to be one with God. Stop looking to the left. Stop looking to the right. Stop looking behind you. And stop looking toward the hill. To lift up your head. For by yourself. And not him. Faithful to this man. cry. It was a body of people, not just the babies, but it was a body of people who was one with God at the Pentecostal evangelism. I got a little bit of everybody in me, a little bit of everybody. So when you see the ushers and you see the hostess and you see, I got a little bit of everybody inside of John Russell, because we are a church that is one with God. The reason why this great organization and this great conference is such a blessing to all of us is because we have great leaders who are one with God. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Let me just show you what this is all about. This is what it's all about. In the St. John chapter 17, our theme scripture, Pastor, you were just all over it, but there's something that we miss here. This is what it's all about and why Satan is so mad at us. St. John chapter 17, verse 19, read it. He says, it's the prayer that you talked about. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I, he said, for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And then he said, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And then he said it, that they also may be one in us. That's one with God. So you're right. We have to be one together, but then we also have to be one with God. But that's not what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Why the unity? Why shall we be united together? Why shall we be united with God? Let me show you, because Satan don't want you to hear this. Are you ready for this? Verse number 21. That's the one you left out. It says this, that they all may be what? One. I said that. I just read it. Go down to verse number 22. Go down to verse number 22. Excuse me, go back to verse number 21. You know I missed it. That they all may be one, as thy Father and I are one, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And then here it is, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This is what it's all about.
You receive it. You receive it. You receive it. You receive it.
being a 21st century church, a 21st century apostolic church. With practice, principle, and power, we must have a heart and a mind of being one with God. You don't hear anything I say tonight, then please hear me now. Please hear me now. If you're not going to be one with God, I'll show you what it'll cost you. It can cost you your anointing. It can cost you your ministry. And ultimately, it will cost you your life. If you don't be one with God, you don't become one with God. Listen to me. Listen to me. It can cost you your anointing. It can cost you your ministry. And it can cost you your life. This is why he sent me to tell you that. We cannot lose the anointing. We cannot lose your ministry. So we definitely don't want you to lose your. Some of you look at that. One of the words he talked about, I know that's a strong saying. But I would not stand here and tell you that and not back it up. I can prove it to you biblically. The Bible talked about there was a man that came from Judah. He was a man, a godly man. There was a king by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was at the altars. He was burning incense on the altar. The Bible said the man of God came into Bethel. There in Bethel he comes, and he comes to the same place where the man of God is burning the incense on the altar. A man of God stand there. And the Bible said he cries against the altar. He said, altar! Oh, altar. He tells him. He said, that's going to be born into the house of David. He said, a child. Then he said his name, Josiah! By name. And unto thee, he said, he's going to do two things. He's going to offer up, he said, the priest of the happinesses that offer incense upon you. And he's going to offer the men bones upon the altar. Now here's what blows my mind. The king is not there. There's an audience with him. Gods are around. There's people there. And the man of God prophesies such a thing. Whoa! Do you want to know what happened? Let me show you what happened. Come here, Jesus. You don't mind, please. Paul, please come to me. Oh, come on. And you be careful with him. This is my pastor. I want him to stand in the middle. I want one of you to get on one side. One of you to get on the other. When I tell you to seize him, grab him, but don't you hurt him. Back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. Come over here, pastor. Right here. Watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. So he's here at the altar. He prophesied against him. And the Bible said that the king takes his hands off the altar. And he says, "Thank you, be careful." And they seize the man of God. The king touched his hands off the altar, and he began to stretch his hands toward the man of God. But something happened. His hands dried up. His hands dried up. The man of God is in bondage right now. And the king wanted to hurt him, but his hands dried up. Now let me show you something. His hands dried up. That was a miracle that took place. And the man of God did not open his mouth, not one time. God is really taking care of his people. The man of God didn't have to defend himself. The man of God didn't have to say anything. When you have an anointing, when you have a ministry, when you're one with God, and the enemy is trying to put his hands on you, God will take care of you. The way they're supposed to. man of God. He's one with God. He remembers the word of God. He said, no. He said, you can offer me the half of your kingdom. He said, I will not go back with you. I will not eat with you. I cannot turn back that way. He said, because the Lord has commanded me. Here's what scares me. That a lot of us have been given commands by God, and we have violated those commands because we have joined in with other faith. And as a people, and they stripped us of our anointing, and it's messed us up. Let me go deeper with you. The Bible says he didn't go. He stayed faithful. He stayed connected to God. Then he leaves that place, and he goes, and he sits under the oak tree. The Bible said there was witnesses there, sons of the old prophet. They went home. They started telling his father, Father, you won't believe what happened, Father. We saw your own God. The man of God came from Judah. Oh, he prophesied against the altar. The king came up against him. The gods grabbed the man. And the king hands with the Lord. Father, we saw with our own eyes. The king hands. The man has an anointing. The man has a powerful ministry, Father. I'm telling you, we've never seen anything like it. We saw miracles. There is a man that's one with God. Tell the Father that. Know what the Father did? The Father, that spirit of desperation down. That old prophet, the Bible said. He said, Son, sell my asses. Sell my asses. He said, Son, man. He said, which way did he go? Which way did he go? They told him he left out of the city. He said, sell his asses. He told him that. He started out. He started out. And he runs into the man of God. He comes up to the man of God under the oak tree. He said, are you that man who did all the miracles? Are you the one that my son was talking about? Are you the one that has the anointing? Are you the one that got that powerful ministry? Are you the one that got the glory of God? Are you the one that's one with God? He tells him, he said, I am he. He said, listen, an angel came up. He said, come on home. And he said, no, I can't. He recites the word of God because he's one with God. I can't go back there. I cannot eat with you. I can't go to your place. I cannot do it. He said, listen, an angel came to me. And he spoke to me and told me to come and tell you to come home and eat with me. And then the Bible said, he lied. Listen to me. This hit my spirit. When I was studying and I began to weep and cry because the Lord told me to give you a word. There's some of you who have connected with lying spirits in your region. This is why you have not conquered the territory yet. This is why your church is not flooded yet with souls. This is why the power of the Holy Ghost is not there. This is why faith is not where it needs to be. This is why wheelchairs are not coming down from the rapture. This is why, because you have adjacent yourself to lying spirits in your region. Some of them eat at your table. Some of them are close to you. They have manipulated you. They have tricked you. I know you're mighty quiet right now. That tells me you're listening to me. This is not a man talking to you. I'm speaking to you in the Holy Ghost. This is what scares me about the millennials and the next generation. Because they have adjacent themselves to that old lying spirit. That's wounded people that have been in our organization. That are pulling you up because they know you have the anointing. They invite you to their church so you can preach. They give you money so that they can be a boss in your life. So that all heavy Holy Ghost. It's a spirit. Listen to me, it's a lying spirit. They bring you to their church, they pump you up, they tell you what a great preacher is, so that they can deceive you and strip you of your anointing. You say it again, there's a whole bunch of lying spirits around you. They have no intentions of seeing you make it. They want what you got, but they can't get what you got. The time has passed. The next generation is here. You're desperate. You want to get with somebody. You got a little greed for money. You want to go places and preach. God called you in the ministry. God will send you where he wants you to go. You don't have to be connected to anything or anybody but God. Connected with lying spirits. Say it. Christian is he just told them that. He did not tell him that there was a lion that was getting ready to eat him. I told you earlier, I said, if you don't become one with God, you will lose your anointing. You will lose your ministry. And it will ultimately cost you your life. Too many anointed preachers are dying. Too many anointed preachers are leaving our organization. Because they're connected to an old wounded prophet. They're connected to an old lion spirit. Come here and say something else. We gotta stop hurting the next generation. Don't pass your hurt down on me. Don't pass your mess down on me.
Getting ready to vote that pastor out. The reason why they were
they getting ready to vote him out because they found out that he was getting his sermons from sermon.com. You get your sermons from sermon.com, that's up to you. You and God is going to deal with that. Here's the problem. The word of God is the word of God. I'm not talking with you. I'm just telling you. Now, listen to me. This is going to be a story. All the deacons went to sermon.com. Ran to the same time. Here's the problem. If you don't get your sermon from sermon.com, here's the problem. Don't step behind the pulpit and say, God said. Jacob and Caleb spirit upon you. Let us go up at once and protect.